Anyway, good morning. Today we're going to be looking at the motivational spiritual gift that just keeps on giving, and that would be giving. Christmas, you may or may not be aware of it, is nearly here. And if the world knows how to associate one thing with Christmas, that would be giving. We also have eating, don't we? Hopefully we have being with family. We have eating. We have the Queen's Speech. And we have eating. However, present buying seems to be the main activity occupying a lot of people's time over the Christmas period. And I sort of keep asking myself, is it all worth it? Is it really all worth it? I mean, when you say to your partner on Christmas morning, you know, I hope you love the present you exchange my gift for. Or you think of the letter that you wrote to Santa, you know, dear Santa, this year please give me a big fat bank account and a lovely slim body. Because you mixed those two up last year. Or I find it a little bit too stressful, to the point where I ask Jane, you know, to tell me the wonderful present that I've bought her. I remember one year opening a present, only to find a beautifully, this wasn't from Jane, by the way, a beautifully knitted tank top. It was to behold. It was a lovely multicoloured striped affair. We had green, and we had red, and we had blue, a bit of pink, then we had some more green, and then we had some brown and a different shade of green and blue, and it went from the top right to the bottom. And today, I think my personality could handle a present like this, but for a 15-year-old teenage boy. And I suppose the moral of that story is, it is better to give than receive. Now, don't get me wrong. I said it was lovely because I didn't want to hurt the feelings of the giver, because I knew how much work had gone into it. Into creating it, but I wasn't too enthusiastic, just in case I got another one next year. This is probably before lockdown as well. I did a bit of research, and I said earlier, you know, it's a bit stressful, isn't it, all this Christmas stuff? So I found the top 10 reasons for causing stress at Christmas. So coming in at number 10. Is untangling the Christmas lights. You've only got yourself to blame about that one, haven't you? This year, make sure you pack them away nicely. Number 9, decorating the house. Well, that's the easy solution. That's called your wife, isn't it? So that's not a problem. Buying presents for people you rarely see. Why do it? Christmas cards. Christmas cards. Pretending to like presents. Well, I've never done that, so we'll move on. Number 6, spending time with the in-laws. Now, my mother-in-law, she's come around to a house at Christmas 7 years running. So this year we're going to have a little bit of a change, and we're going to let her in. Number 5. Putting on weight. I mean, Santa's letter should help with that. And it's not what, you shouldn't be worried about what you eat between Christmas and New Year. You should be worried about what you eat between New Year and Christmas. Number 4, wrapping weirdly shaped presents. Oh, for goodness sake, don't buy weirdly shaped presents or put them in a box. Number 3, cooking the Christmas dinner. Did I mention eating? I don't know, that's very good, isn't it? Number two, not having any time for yourself. Well, all you do is don't invite the in-laws and you'll be killing two birds with one stone there, won't you? So that's fine. And number one, it's not COVID because this was pre-COVID, but number one, you'll probably all know this one, the number one stressful thing at Christmas is finances. And the sad thing at Christmas, isn't it, that the world thinks to have a good one requires spending, and for some that does mean getting into debt. And when you're bombarded, aren't you, with slogans such as "'Tis the season for giving," and "Happiness doesn't result from what we get, but what we give," it's hardly surprising, isn't it, that finances are the number one stress-causing event at Christmas. The world generally doesn't know this, but Christmas actually has very little to do with spending and giving, but more to do with receiving. In the Bible, it mentions nearly 2,000 times about giving. God clearly has a lot to say about giving. But when you break that down and look at those Bible references, the vast majority are to do with what God has given us. The ratio being about 5-1 in favor of God giving to us. We receive more than we give, and that is so true even at Christmas time. Jen mentioned it in a worship. Some Christian fellowships speak about the Advent candles, don't they, at Christmas, which symbolize hope, faith, joy, and peace. All gifts from God that we can receive from Him at Christmas time. And the fifth candle, which represents light and purity, is called Christ's candle. And normally in some fellowships it's lit on Christmas Day. This Christmas and every other day of the year, we can receive God's greatest gift to us, Jesus. God coming to the world as Jesus, being fully human yet fully divine, giving himself on a cross, that if we believe and trust in him, we receive the gift of restoring our relationship to God, the gift of salvation. Christmas is all about receiving from God hope, faith, joy and peace, but most of all Jesus. You may have heard of Corrie ten Boom, a Christian who helped many Jews escape the Holocaust. And she once said, "Who can add to Christmas? The perfect motive that God so loved the world, the perfect gift that he gave his only son, the only requirement is to believe in him." Not believe of him. Many people believe of him, but believe in him. The reward of faith is that you shall have everlasting life. Now, I don't want all this talk about receiving at Christmas putting you off from buying your nearest and dearest a Christmas present. And obviously don't forget your spouse as well. Okay. The Bible does talk about us giving. And in the Gospel of Matthew, he has more to say about giving than any other New Testament writer. God is the great giver. And God has gifted, hasn't he, some people with a real ability, a real passion, and a joy for giving. Of course, I'm not just talking about giving at Christmas time. The giving Matthew speaks of applies all year round. And not just to those with the motivational spiritual gift of giving, but to every believer in Jesus. In the Gospel of Matthew, we sort of get a framework that every believer in Jesus should follow. The first thing is that we should all give without expecting. Satan once said to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, all these, that is the world, all these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Giving to get is not biblical giving. It's like a bartering, isn't it? It's like applying some leverage to try and get something. The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Corinthians, each one gives as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. We should all give to meet the need. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus talks about going that extra mile and giving to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Now, we're all called to be wise with our resources, but the point here is that our hearts shouldn't be hardened to real, genuine need. A person with a gift of giving, that they're usually supernaturally attuned to listening for needs and then devising a way to meet that need. Multicoloured tank tops do not fall into that category. We should also all give in secret. Now, of course, there's nothing wrong with putting your name on a gift to somebody this Christmas. I'm not talking about that. However, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, thus, when you give to the needy, and notice how this says when and not if, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. We give to God what he has given us. Quite simply, we need to recognize and acknowledge that everything we have comes from God. It's God's to start with, and it's God's to finish with. We are only stewards of this world to manage the gifts from God, and by only using what we need for ourselves, and we can give the rest back to this world and God. Jesus speaks to the rich man in Matthew chapter 19 by telling him to sell all his possessions and come and follow him. Now, Jesus isn't necessarily telling us that we should sell all our possessions. He was primarily addressing this rich man's love of and his reliance of his wealth. He was relying on what he had. God tells us we should love and rely on him, not on the temporary things we have. We count Christ more important than anything that this world has to offer. We give also in the place of Jesus, as though to Jesus. In Matthew chapter 25, there's a great story about the Son of Man, that is Jesus, coming again. Jesus will gather all the nations. And then he says, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. You did for me. When we give because we love Jesus, it's like giving to Jesus. Quite simply, our motive for giving is because we love him and we love his body, the church. Paul says in the book of Corinthians, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Those are challenging words there. So, every believer in Jesus is not exempt from giving because every believer has the Holy Spirit, who is the giver of gifts, and the Holy Spirit resides in us. I remember one Christmas. I told Jane for months in advance that all I wanted for Christmas was an Xbox. That's it. Beginning and end of list. An Xbox. You know what she got me? A lovely homemade frame with a picture of us from our first date together. Which was fine, because I got her an Xbox. That's not a true story. I would never buy her anything as expensive as an Xbox. The point I'm trying to make here is that God blesses some people with a supernatural ability to be more aware, more attuned of the needs that he wants to meet through them. I'm not talking, as you would have gathered, about Christmas presents. A person with the spiritual gift of giving has a basic motivational drive to conserve and share resources in order to meet the needs of others. A person with this spiritual gift of giving, they've got many strengths. They use their assets of time and money and possessions wisely. They make wise purchases and investments, usually avoiding impulse buying. A giver gets joy. Notice how I've mentioned that this thing about God wants for us to have joy out of the gifts that he gives us. A giver gets joy by finding less costly ways to do things, which in turn releases more resources for other things. The downside of this is that a giver's efforts to conserve resources could become too much. And this could turn into the giver being perceived as being plain cheap or a hoarder. Their resources may become stagnant and bless no one. Sometimes their families can think that these givers are a little bit stingy. But to the people who they give, they are perceived to be very generous. A giver will find joy by preventing waste and exercising wisdom and accountability. They expect to be held accountable and diligently hold others to account as well. And because a giver has the desire to make sure that their gifts are wisely used, they prefer to purchase and donate a quality item rather than give the money for a purchase. However, this could be seen as using the gifts to control lives and ministries rather than let others decide. Givers are usually hard workers and they tend to have conservative values. They desire to be out of the limelight, wanting to give anonymously so that the recipients are looking to the Lord and not to them. I mean, this might lead to a giver rejecting appeals of help as they seek only for hidden and unannounced needs. They could react negatively to the pressure to give, assuming that others can and should meet the need since the need has been well publicized. A giver often likes to become personally involved in the lives of those who they give support. They can feel personally invested in the ministry, and being a part of another person's success brings them joy. If, however, a person or ministry has an incident that appears to reflect poor stewardship or lack of accountability, rather than sort of get an accurate account of the situation, a giver can easily start to lose confidence, and their feelings can interfere with God's given opportunity to give. Quite simply, they stop giving. The person with the gift of giving rejoices when they realize that their gift is an answer to prayer, especially when the need wasn't obvious and they were only responding through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. This happens when a mature giver is in tune with God, but when the giver isn't, they can start to feel guilty about their personal assets, even if they're saving up for a special need. The giver must have that reassurance from the Lord that their plans are according to God's will. A giver also loves to motivate others to save and give generously, because they want to others to experience the joy and spiritual growth that comes through sacrificial giving. A giver may provide matched funds or the last payment in order to encourage others to give. But the danger here is that people could start to look at them rather than God when they become aware of what the giver is giving. God can give the gift of giving to anyone, regardless of their economic status, because of the supernatural element, the giver rarely incurs any debt. A giver will evaluate spirituality in terms of resources, accountability, and dependability. Do you think that you may have the motivational spiritual gift of giving? Other characteristics of someone with this gift also include being thrifty, resourceful, they find ways to meet the need, contented with what they've got, punctual, knowing it's better to meet the need quickly, cautious, researching carefully their investments, and thankful for what they have and for God using them to meet the need. We are all required to give and be generous. Some have the motivational gift of giving and most do not. Whether we do or not, one thing as disciples of Jesus, we all need to exercise our giving out of our love for Christ. We remember that everything we have comes from God, and that by giving to others that are in need, We are in fact serving and giving to Jesus. How apt it is to talk about the spiritual gift of giving at Christmas. When we think of the greatest gift to be received, is Jesus himself. That's me finished. I hope you have a great Christmas. I just leave you, I couldn't resist this. I just leave you with one last quote as you wonder what gifts, apart from Jesus, that may be under the tree for you this year. Professor Dumbledore, the headmaster at Hogwarts, once said, "One can never have enough socks. Another Christmas has come and gone, and I didn't get a single pair. People will insist on giving me books." Have a great Christmas, everybody. Have a very safe Christmas.